to Interactive Distractions, episode 158. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I am here with Mr. Travis Baum.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Let me on, man.
Hey, no problem.
Unfortunately.
You know, I keep trying to kick you off, and you keep coming back, so, you know. And Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And today we are talking about the Video Game Awards and what we think they could improve and, you know, what they did right. They did a couple things right, I think. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about that. Before that, we're going to talk about distractions and maybe some news. And then afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before we do that, let's go around the table. We'll start with Jeff today. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. It's not officially winter here yet, but the weather is feeling that way. It's
fucking
freezing,
cold.
Balls cold. Which, it's already snowed more than it has last year, which is
what?
Crazy.
Really?
Well, yeah, we literally had, like, everyone's like, doesn't believe me, but we literally had, like, pretty much no snow last year.
Well,
I think it snowed 3 days.
Yeah, we snowed 3 times last year.
Yeah.
Dude, nothing that happens here is called snow.
Yeah, it's true. I wouldn't call that snow. I saw pictures. Like, that's not snow. And even when it did snow here, it was gone, like, the next day, or, like, within, like, a day and a half or so. And it snowed, like, one decent snowfall a couple days ago, and some of it's still on the ground. But it's cold-ass, though, man. Like, it's
We've had flurries here already
here
a couple
last
times.
Few days.
We had
and
some
again,
today, and we had some a few days ago.
So I'm ready to move.
Like, early last
it's
week.
It's not even officially
yeah,
winter yet.
Yeah, not much.
Mm. But, hey.
I just hate this weather, man. Like, it just...
You guys there?
Stuff that makes your balls shrivel up should not
no.
be just
no.
natural. I don't know. It just feels bad.
It doesn't bother me, man.
Hello.
I love the cold.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Hello. Well, the other night, like when we were getting together for the Video Game Awards, like that was a good night because it was like 40, 45 degrees. Like I was out on the patio with Jason and I was like, you know what? This is perfect weather. And we were sitting there and we were silent for a second, and I said, you know what? Savor the flavor, because it is going to get fucking
Hello.
Cold. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding.
What up?
Welcome back.
Welcome back, by the way. I guess you guys listening at home just got that Jeff dropped, and we just kept on talking.
Nice.
We were just talking about weather. That's all.
That's called chemistry right there. That's exactly what it is.
It's called shitty internet connection. That's what it's
called. That too, yeah.
Moose net. Yeah. Travis, how you doing, buddy?
Great. I think whatever, like...
Oh, I guess I was done.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you were silent for so long, you know. I just
well, that's because I was
done.
Dropped, you douche.
I know, that's the
hey,
point.
Hey, Jeff, do you
Jeff?
Have anything else, buddy? I'm here for
no,
you.
No, I'm good.
Oh, seriously? Come on.
No.
Oh, this kid here. Okay, anyway, but I'm doing all right, I guess. It's been kind of a shitty 48 hours. I don't know. I've just been down in the dumps, works. You know,
shitty and dumps in one sentence. Keep going.
Only
shitty
I
dumps.
Can do that. It's just been a rough couple of days. And with Megan still being out of commission and not being able to drive, I've been having to drive her.
That's a question I've got, man.
What?
Why can't
she
drive?
Didn't she hurt her left leg?
No, her right.
Oh, it was. Okay, never mind.
Do you pay attention to
anything? Is it actually – is no. it – it's broken?
Actually, it's not fully broken.
Then she can drive.
Pretty serious fracture.
She's
not very good with pain. There's no way she'd be able to drive.
No, she's got to put up with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's understandable.
Emotional pain.
Yeah.
Mental pain. But anyway – well, I just lost my train of thought. Thanks, Jeff.
How curious. How are you doing?
My call didn't drop. No, so I've been having to drive her to work and everything, and some days I have to open my store, so I'm having to wake up even earlier because I have to do everything. Like I have to like pretty much like do the dogs, do you know, fix lunch, fix coffee, and everything. So it's taking a lot of time. So I've been having to get up super, super early. So I was even like considering not even like recording tonight, but I was like, okay, well Chris is going out of town, so I have to. So it's been a shitty couple of days, so you know what? I need my bros. And here I am.
Aww.
Good deal.
I love you guys.
Such a heartwarming story for this time of season.
I know.
I feel so special.
Meh.
Meh.
Real quick.
So Chris,
though,
how are you doing?
Are you good?
Oh,
real quick, what are you guys drinking?
Water tonight, actually.
Water here, Chris.
Water.
Purple Haze.
You filthy drunk.
That's right.
You lush. What's wrong with you? It's Wednesday.
I know. I'm drinking on a Wednesday. What's this world coming to?
Right. What's up, man? What's up with you?
Oh, man. Not much. I'm just really looking forward
I got back from my AA meeting and, you know.
After last week's drunkenness and train wreck of a show.
Oh, my God.
Dude, whatever. Fun. That show was not a train wreck. I didn't think it was a train wreck show. I thought it was hilarious. I was laughing my ass off listening to that show. It's the same old shit right now, man. I need out of work. I'm really glad that it's the holidays. That way I've got, less pressure on me and shit like that, but I'm ready to be done. Anybody out there need a team lead developer? That'd be nice. Anyway, that's it for me. Nobody at my job listens to my show, so I don't care. At least I hope not.
I'll take that out in post.
Thanks, man. But yeah, that's it. So, I'm just ready to talk about some games. So let's get on with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Travis, why don't you go first?
Okay. So Angry Birds just needs to get the fuck out of the way because the downloadable game of the year, I'm calling it right here.
Year. Should we have a new category, mobile game of the year?
We just have it in download. I think we just have that in download.
Yeah, it would have to be.
We can do that. I'm down for that.
We're actually kind of late to the party because this was the hotness about a month ago with a lot of other podcasts, but Game Dev Story, what the fuck?
Or you guys just didn't take my word for it until recently.
No, it just got released on Android three days ago.
Oh, that's right, too. That's right. Yeah, sorry.
But beside that, haven't you realized through the tenure of our relationship that we just don't listen to what the hell you have to say, Jeff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, pretty much.
Jeff, if it makes you feel better, I take your word for it more than Travis's.
Ouch.
Well, that's a given.
Ouch. God, good thing I'm good looking because, geez. Anyway, so Game Dev Story.
Chris. I also think you're better looking than Travis.
I love you too, brother. Totally homo.
Game Dev Story. Like, I think everybody by now knows what it is. But this is like the most addicting game that I've played all year.
It's crack on a phone.
By far.
Dude. I haven't played it as much as you have, but. Man, it's like, what were we talking about earlier? It's like they track years, like they like time goes by in the game pretty quickly, but they track like year, month, and week, and I'm on like year 8 already, and I've made like 23 games and shit like that, and you know, it's really addicting, and I can't explain why it's so addicting.
I can. You, not very many games, like really, really make you feel a sense of progression. Like you really feel like from the start of the game where you're putting out, you know, review scores of like 3s and 4s out of 10, and then progress more and more and you're getting 6s and 7s and all of a sudden you're hitting 8s and 9s and 10s. Like you really feel like you've done this yourself. And not many games can do that, like make you feel that, okay, wow, I did this. And that's pretty nice.
There's one thing missing in that though. Because once your games start getting like 9s and 10s, if say you make a game make a game that gets like 8s, they don't have part of your fan base being like, "This game sucks, it's terrible. Why are the reviewers getting such a low score? What the hell's going on? It should be 10. Oh my God, it's not a 10.
I think we'll get into that a little bit later because I'm going to ask you a specific question. But anyway, my first game, it was Fapcom. That was my developer name. And anyway,
what is it called? Fapcom?
Fapcom.
Nice.
So anyway, Fapcom wasn't doing so well because I wasn't utilizing the boosts. And anyone who hasn't jumped into Game Dev Story, if you do jump into it, really, really invest in those boosts because, you know, they're consumable. There's things that you can use to make to really like up your creativity or your fun or graphics and whatnot. But some of these these boosts are consumable. But at the time, I thought they weren't. And that's one thing that I wish that they would have done better, because in the beginning, you're getting...
They don't really give you a good indication that you get to keep that.
The game doesn't really tell you much in general. You kind of have to... It kind of throws you in there, and you kind of have to figure it a lot by
yourself. Yeah, and then there's a lot of symbols. Like, did you have to learn, like, okay, what is this symbol? What is that? Like, what's the...
Yeah, there's a sphere that is creativity. I'm like, what?
And then it's like, okay, well, I want someone to focus on creativity, but... So is that the person who's good at graphics, or is that the person who's good at programming? Like you don't really know that. Like I'm in year 13 on my third game already, and I still don't really know who's the best person for like creativity or something like that.
So, I know that for like fun is the best person is probably the scenario writer.
Yeah,
scenario,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And then but as far as like creativity goes, I don't know who.
I did, you know. For when I was doing, I did my creativity and my fun. I put both as scenario writer. That's right. What I was always using.
Okay.
The best one. I'm not sure if that's right. I don't know.
But my favorite thing about this game so far, and it's something that we kind of touched on in the Skype chat box before we started recording, was that when you start making specific games, like I personally started like making my own series and series offshoots. And every game is different because every single studio that I've made so far, you learn different genres and game types. Like my first game, Fapcom, was, you know, heavy on shooters, a little light on RPGs, but the game, my main game that I'm on right now, Game Lords, they are like all simulation RPGs and strategy RPGs, action RPGs and whatnot. And that's been kind of my focus now.
Where the money is.
Where the money is.
My first game for my development studio was a life game. That was the genre.
Right.
And the subject matter was pirate. And I called it Plunderville.
Plunderville. Love
and it's
it.
It sold a horrible 35,000 copies.
Yeah. But you really start taking ownership in some of these, because my first big selling game was something called Manga Odyssey. Because it was RPG and cartoons. So it was like pretty much like a manga RPG. So it sold very, very well. So I went right into the sequel, Manga Odyssey 2. And that was my first award-winning game. So I was like, oh, well, So I did Manga Odyssey 3. It sold well, but then I started getting the notices that I'm making too much of the same game types. So I was like, okay, well, change it around. So I'm like, okay, well, I like this manga thing that I'm going to. I'm kind of feeling this series. So, and of course, this is kind of like my Final Fantasy. So I was like, okay, well, let's see if I can change it to something a little different and stay, you know, keep it to what Final Fantasy was doing. And I made like Manga Tactics. And then I was like, okay, well, I can't do any more tactic games because people are going to think I'm doing the same game type. So let me do an action manga game. So I did Manga Man. And and like you keep on doing this stuff and it's like, okay.
Manga Man?
Yeah. Mangaman. So that's my favorite part of the game. Making these series, I'm making offshoots of series. I really, really take – I get a sense of ownership that like this is my creation and I like to see how it's sold, the review scores, you know, how people react to it. I love this game, man. It is a blast.
Yeah. So. My action game was a ninja action game that I called God of Ninjas.
And then
I made a follow up called Ninja of War.
Nice. I had a ninja
and that one sold like 900,000.
Actually, my ninja action game was my first game, and it was Ninju.
Oh my gosh!
But that's what's great about this game. You can sit and you can talk about your game titles and what kind of games it was, and it's just funny stuff that you can come up with. But okay, so we've all played it. Game Dev Story 2 is a thing. It's happening.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to
happen. So what are some things in Game Dev Story that you think we need to see for part two?
A wider range of genres and shit. Not necessarily genres, but subject matter more than anything. Because it's like, you know, they have like history, but, you know, what about like mythology or something like that? I mean, there's a lot of subject matter that can be put back into the game.
I would like to see a third option to add to genre and then game type. Like, so instead of sim RPG cartoon, you can do sim RPG cartoon and then have like a little, another subgenre. Yeah. Just to kind of tweak it up a little bit.
I want to see a better, leveling up, mechanic. System. I hate the system that's in the first one. Like we're talking again off air that
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make sense because it takes way longer to level up someone than it does to fire them and hire someone who's better or whatever it does. So like, and also that when you do try to level people up, it's ridiculous options that you don't really know how much they're going to level up by or going to improve by.
And it's the same if you try and train them. You know, they have these weird training options.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when you train them though, you have the possibility yeah, they don't net very much at all, but you do have the possibility of opening up some more game types and game genres that you would not be able to do unless you train. So training, I like the training.
Yeah, training. Yeah. Well, I didn't like the training either. Okay, I liked it. I just didn't like, again, the same. There's way too many options. They didn't really explain what they do and how it's done. It's like you just pick something you do, and it's like, how is skipping rope going to make him more creative? Yeah. It's like, this doesn't make sense.
That's how the very, you can tell that's where like the Asian, the Japanese-y type of game styles in there.
What gets me is like they have the ability to change what type of job they do.
Right.
But like, you know, you get like directors and producers and stuff like that, but there's no way to change like a regular like coder or designer or something like that to a producer or a director.
Right.
I haven't gotten that yet. Like I took a writer and made him a coder. Trying to get two of his stats up to try and get like a different job for him.
Yeah.
And there was nothing available.
Huh.
So again, that goes back to what you said. It's easier just to fire and hire.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. There's something that I really, really wanted for Game Dev Story 2, and I really hope they do this. I would like the ability to create multi-platform games.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I was, that was kind of surprised about, that they didn't allow you to do that, because you figured they would do it and then just have you add to the cost or something.
Right.
Yeah. And on the same thing, I want there to be offers where a console will come to you and be like, hey, we'll give you this much money if you just make it for this console, and they have a kind of a war.
Yeah. They do that after the fact though. In this game, like if you make a really, really smash hit, cause I think it was for me, Manga Odyssey 3, it was for the play status, and they came to me and said, we want this to be after the game was made.
Yeah.
It was after I did my advertising. They were like, we want this to be the marquee game for the play status, and it just upped my fame more. So they
that. I don't think I ever saw that.
Or if I did,
I didn't pay attention to it.
But it's after the fact. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, hey, we want you to make this. That would be a great idea, though. You bring up a really good point, where before you make a game, it's called Sunny. They come up to you and they say, "Okay, look, check it out. We want you to make our next big game. We're gonna revolve our. You're the killer app for our system. Make this game for us, and you have to make it a certain review score. It's got to sell a certain amount." Yeah, that would be really, really interesting. Kind of give you like, it's pretty much challenges, and you have to pass the challenges.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good idea. Good job, Jeff.
Thanks, man.
All right. So enough game dev story. We've beaten this.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we've talked enough about a mobile game.
I know,
I'm sure we'll be talking about game dev story in our game of the year show.
I'm pretty sure we will.
So. Yeah.
We got to get Jason on that tip, man.
Oh, he's playing the shit out of that game, too, I can tell you.
Good.
We were talking about it yesterday.
All right, good man.
We had the conversation, because it was actually, since you've mentioned Angry Birds and Game Dev Story, it's like, I said, is it sad that I've gone through Angry Birds and gotten 3 stars on every stage? And he looked at me and he says, is it sad that I played Game Dev Story for 8 hours straight yesterday? I was like, holy crap, dude.
Free time at work, that's all I'm playing. Guys, are you ready for the verdict on 3D gaming?
Oh, yeah, you tried it. Man, what up?
Yeah, we got the 3D starter kit today.
GT5 or Club
Clubs? I didn't play Gran Turismo yet.
That would have been my first one.
I think I didn't do it because I haven't installed the game yet. I didn't feel like sitting through 3D loading screens. So I put in COD Bobs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me say this first. We started off, the starter kit came with the Blu-ray 3D version of Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
It looks great. It really does. I got to say, the Blu-ray movies look great, but let me go back to Blu-ray movies in a second, because that goes into my verdict. Now, the video games, I put in COD Bops, and I'm like, okay, well, what level do I want? First of all, the menus, it's a little iffy here and there, but I went ahead and put in COD Bops, started a random campaign level, but I was like, okay, well, which one do I want? I didn't do a random one. I was like, which one do I want? So I picked the first Vietnam level, and to give you guys some insight on this and people who haven't played it, the first level, you start off in this tent, and you walk out of the tent, and you're just you're at your camp, the U.S. camp in Vietnam, and they're all kind of helicopters in the background, like flying, like literally 15-20 helicopters flying in the back, and then one helicopter's flying towards you because one of your guys is about to jump out and greet you. Just like I really, really enjoy in 3D movies, when guys are just standing next to you, like side by side, picture like a scene in Half-Life where there's a lot of people just standing next to each other and you're just looking at people talk to you, and that's kind of like their quote-unquote cutscenes. Stuff like that works because the depth of field really, really, really benefits how a video game looks. It does take a little bit for your eyes to adjust, but once you, after about a good 5 seconds and you do adjust, I got to tell you, man, the cutscenes look really, really good. And in this scene, in the first Vietnam level, you guys jump into a Jeep and you start driving off maybe about 20, 30 miles an hour. So you're not driving real fast and you're having the background pass by and you have the guys in the foreground and you're looking straight at them. The 3D really, really works there. But then the gameplay kicks in. And especially it's so fast, it makes the 3D just way too blurry.
Yeah.
And you mix that in. And I was really, really excited about looking down iron sights in 3D. Mm. When you're moving around up, down, left, right, does not work.
Muddy as hell.
It's extremely muddy, and it is so disorienting.
How's the frame rate on it? Because I heard the COD Bobs drops, like literally gets cut in half with the frame rate.
Like I said, during the beginning, it was fine. But yeah, once gameplay hits, it's kind of choppy. I gotta say, it's not bad. It may have dropped from 30 to 20 frames per second. It's not a terribly noticeable drop. Like, the game doesn't stutter step at all.
One thing I wanted to mention is that isn't the 3D in COD Bops kind of an afterthought, though? I mean, maybe they kind build of the game for
it,
that.
It really is. It's kind of an.
I wouldn't really judge it very much right now until you play something. If you're gonna talk about a shooter, talk about something like Killzone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When Killzone comes out really in what, February,
I'm excited about Killzone.
Yeah. So Killzone in 3D. That, I mean, they're making it for that that reason. So
or talk about GT5 because that was like
GT5.
It was
really
they didn't
good
add it in later in development, but they've been that's what they've been showing a lot of Sony things.
I think Gran Turismo will translate better with 3D because it's not all this Twitch action going on. It's you'll have more of that depth of field, which is what makes this three for video games. What makes this. Which will either make or break video games. If they try to have shit fly in your face, I don't think 3D is going to catch on at all for video games. That's where you get the gimmick. But I'm serious, man. Like, the depth of field, that really helps video games a lot, I think. If it's done right. Mm-hmm. So, in terms of final verdict on 3D in general, right now it is entry level. You know, it's kind of early. The only way I would really say it's worth it right now for 3D is for Blu-ray 3D movies. We watch a little TV with a 3D that's like on demand via Comcast. It's really not that great. And the games are so-so. I really want to try out like Super Stardust HD. I heard that's pretty hot.
I can see that being pretty good.
Yeah, so that's supposed to be pretty good. I'm going to try that. Now I'm going to try Pain out too, so I'll have a little more insight on that next week. But, you know, it's not bad. Overall positive experience. I want it to be better, though. So we'll see how it goes. And, yeah, Killzone will be great. And that's February, right? That's really close. That's really close. So, anyway, but that's it for me, guys.
Cool. All right, Jeff, what you got, buddy?
I guess first start off with Sony Online Entertainment was in Toronto doing a media thing for...
How did that go?
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. I was actually, because I guess my hours, I had to get there. I was the first person there, basically, with some other groups of people from, like, other... There's one other site there, and I think there's MTV Canada was there as well at the same time.
But that's cool.
There was a... it started off a bit late, so they actually showed... it was supposed to be for DC Universe Online and Magic the Gathering Tactics. So, I checked out Magic the Gathering Tactics first, so I'm not sure if either of you guys have been following it or if you guys...
I saw it at E3. I didn't really get a chance to play it. Is it just basically exactly what it says? Is it just like a tactical RPG with magic?
That's like pretty cards, much or? That's pretty much what it is. There's no cards per se involved. They're just they're spells, basically. So it's the same idea. It's basically you're a planeswalker versus another planeswalker when you're playing one-on-one. And you got... like spells that you open up, light cards. Like, so you get booster packs and stuff like that, and you buy them. There's rare cards and like ultra rare cards and whatever. But the way the game plays out is you'll have your planeswalker on the map, and you cast the things like you would in Magic. But of course now there's like there's terrain and there's like cover and stuff, and it plays a lot more like a regular like a tactics game, like a Jeanne d'Arc or Final Fantasy.
Okay,
tactics,
so there's actually kind of graphics and characters.
Yes,
on the map.
It's all 3D. It's all like character stuff on the map, stuff like that. And
see,
it's
that
still all,
interests me, even as a Magic title.
It looks pretty cool, man. When I saw it at E3, it did look pretty cool. Now, I mean, is it the same concept? I mean, is there land that you have to throw down first and things like
there
that?
There is land, but this is how it works. Instead of doing it like you would in the card game where you draw 7 cards and then you put down your land, what it does is every turn you get a land, no matter what. So the players get a land.
So it doesn't. There's no luck of the draw there. It's like
there's luck in the draw on what kind of land you get, because depending on how you build your deck, so to speak. Like if you're like say 40% white and I don't know 60% blue. You do that like you have a 60% chance of getting a blue mana on each turn. 40% white kind of thing.
Okay.
So you're not really drawing mana. So that's kind of cool. So because they want to keep the game kind of going, and it would kind of be terrible, like especially in an electronic version of Magic, when you don't get land and it kind of sucks. Like that's one of the downfalls I thought of, even the one on Xbox Live, is sometimes you can just be in this like, I don't know, this kind of like void of, oh, where's my mana? I have nothing. Great.
With the Xbox Live one though, like that was extremely limited, right? Because you don't end up creating your own decks. Everything was randomized.
Yeah.
It wasn't really randomized.
They had specific decks that were made. And the biggest problem with this game is that with that one was that when you got new cards, it just added them to the deck.
Yeah.
You couldn't take other cards out.
You could take cards out.
The only cards you could take out were the extra
were
ones.
Were the new
they
ones,
gave
the
you.
Extra yeah. ones. Yeah, exactly.
But you couldn't get a new card and take out one of the old cards that was already in the deck. Mm-hmm. So there was very little customization in that respect.
Well, I asked that to ask another question, and is that does it seem that you can have more customization to your?
Oh, yeah, you have 100% customization in this one.
Nice.
The game is actually free to play, so it's free to download on PC, which will be hitting shortly, and then on PS3 it will also be free to download. But of course, it's microtransactions, so it's
buying the cards,
buying all this other stuff. The free to play it does give you a lot. Like they give you quite a bit of cards. They also give you like a campaign mode. So it's more of like, again, traditional types game. You're not exactly fighting another planeswalker and just basically playing games of Magic over and over again. It's like you'll have objectives on the map, like, okay, like defeat these 4 dudes plus activate this, I don't know, this or open this treasure or activate this obelisk or whatever. So there's stuff you can do that are just more tactics-based that you'd be more familiar with. So to make the single player a little bit more exciting than, hey, I'm just fighting another dude over and over and over again. Which adds a little bit to it. Trying to think of what else is like worth noting that would really change. Like it's basically what we said. It's like a tactics game that's Magic, so it's 3D graphics and
right.
It seemed pretty cool. I never got a chance to play it. They're just showing it. They had just a guy demoing it, but it wasn't. It looks definitely interesting. I mean, if it's free to download, I'm definitely gonna give it a shot when it's out for sure. And I'm actually gonna have a beta code for it soon, so give it a try. But it'll if you're a Magic fan, I don't see why it wouldn't interest you, really. I know they had, like, I'm pretty sure they had a 3D Magic game back on Xbox, was it, or PS2?
I think
it was supposed to be pretty
good. I think it was on Xbox, but yeah.
Was it? Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be that good, and this looks like it'll be quite a bit better than that. So.
Cool.
But more on that when I actually get a chance to actually play it. And, of course, DC Universe Online, which, Chris, you got to try it a little bit yesterday.
I tried it some more today, too. I actually made my own character today. Did you play it at all?
I played it for about 5 minutes today. They're basically just showing it yesterday as well. But they showed it on PC and on PS3. So if one thing they did while I was there was I had no interest really in DC Universe Online going into it. One, because I'm not really a big DC Comics fan. Like, I don't really know much outside of like the big names like Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern, Joker, that kind of thing. And also because I'm not a big MMO fan. The fact that it's real-time, the combat, where it's more combo-based, like an action game,
that
really piqued my interest. And the fact that it looks not too bad on a console. Like, I could read stuff. The controls felt pretty much intuitive if you played, like, an action game or any kind of, like, even role-playing games where you pull the left and right triggers to bring up the alternate menus, like potions and magic and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this has been in development for a while. It's supposed to come out this year, but they put it on hold till next year, first quarter, 2011. So yeah, so you can't go into the game thinking like, okay, I'm going to make Superman, I'm going to be Batman, I'm going to be Superman, because the game, the MMO does have a storyline, and the storyline is pretty cool. It's basically, it's a big war going on in Metropolis, and all the heroes are involved, and then, is the guy's name Brainiac, or?
Yeah, Brainiac.
Yeah, Brainiac comes down, basically wipes out the planet, and what happens is Lex Luthor comes back in time from the future and warns all the superheroes about this, and villains being like, hey, kind of got to work together here, Earth's done for, and I guess some kind of side effect to what Brainiac was doing to Earth was a lot of regular human beings got superpowers, and that's where you come in. So you create your super villain or superhero, and then you're going through the game basically building up your stuff and everything, and you can side with the villains or the heroes, and depending on your mentor, that determines where you start in the game. So you can start in either Gotham City or Metropolis. So if you pick, like, Batman as your mentor, or, like, the Joker, if you're a villain, you got Gotham City, and then Superman, yeah, right. Wonder Woman, so on the other side. Also, if you do want, in terms of customization, you could go to Inspired By, and you can pick, like, go Batman, or, like,
yeah, and they'll give you, like, a template to start with.
Exactly, give you a template to start with, and it's pretty good. It's pretty accurate to, like, what that hero looks like, but a few alterations. But every one of those people that you pick, like, say, all three of us, say, we all want someone inspired by Batman, but we don't make any changes to what they give you as a template, we'd look exactly the same.
Yeah,
so
right.
you do have to go in there. Yeah, so you definitely have to go in there and make sure to make your guy your own, and your guy or female, whatever. And from what I can tell, the customizable, like, characters, it's pretty robust. There's a lot of stuff you can do. One of the guys who's showing us, he actually made He-Man. And he's, like, at a higher level. And his He-Man looked like He-Man. It was pretty damn cool. And he's flying around, which, you know, mm-hmm. looked awkward for He-Man, but right. It was cool. But, no, they're doing some stuff. I mean, it's the PC version and PS3 version are pretty much identical from what I could tell. I know, Chris, you put in definitely more time with the PS3 version, because I only got to see that for probably about 5 to 10 minutes before I had to get out of there.
And really, I only played the intro twice with the PS3 version. So.
Well, okay. Chris, you said you were feeling some button lag, and you were kind of showing it, you know, during the stream while you guys were playing it. And it seems like, and I've played tons of MMOs on a PC, and it's something that Final Fantasy XI had that lag too, on the consoles that it didn't have on the PC. I can't imagine it being as bad as you were showing. Because there was some serious button latency.
Well, it was mainly with the menus. The actual menus were really horrible.
Which is aggravating.
It is.
I'm sure they can patch that.
Well, it's also a beta, so I mean, this isn't like the game's out and final.
Yeah, but true. But let's be honest, guys. This is now an open beta. It's basically a demo, and the only thing that they're going to change is possibly netcode right now.
Possibly, you know?
Yeah, the beta means they're pretty much done with features, like,
right,
like
exactly.
How the game is going to be, they're pretty much done with that. Yeah.
There's a little bit of button lag when you attack and stuff, but it's no more mm-hmm. than like any other MMO. You know, it's
right.
It's hard for me to judge, because the one that I would compare it to right now would be something like PSO, because it's the same kind of combat style. And PSO/PSU has no input lag at all. But it's really not enough to break the game at all, or even noticeable in most by most people. But I noticed it a little bit today when I was playing.
Really, I didn't notice it yet.
A game like this, with like the superhero combat, mm-hmm. could maybe feels like streamlined a little bit, because I do think this game I'm about to mention it's fun. I like the combat, but it's a little clunky. But it seems like DC Universe would really benefit from a fighting system, a combat system like Vindictus.
That's kind of what it's like.
It doesn't seem like that. It still seems like, okay, click, and the guy keeps on attacking.
No, it's one to one.
Each button press, yeah.
Okay,
each button
it
press is an attack.
Yeah, it's more. It plays a lot like a character action game, basically. Like a, because they even have combo meters like that. Like you can actually juggle. Like when you get, or you can actually do like kind of like God of War, Devil May Cry stuff, where you'll hit a guy like, you know, six times, launch him in the air, jump up there, keep attacking him while he's up there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Be opened up. And it's all because they want it to be a lot more console, I guess, friendly.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, yeah.
And this is all stuff that gets unlocked later. So.
Right.
Exactly. So I haven't seen that stuff really. But I mean, I also haven't seen the lag that Chris saw or was experiencing. But then again, I literally only played it for about 10 minutes because that thing takes forever to install because it's 16 yeah. gigs. So I'll put more time with it, of course, over this weekend. But I mean, it got me interested. And I mean, the world looks good. Like for an MMO, it does look pretty decent. Like I didn't
have that much problem with it, besides the fact that it has that Unreal Engine like texture pop in bullshit,
right?
Which kind of bugs me. And one of the things that I noticed is that enemies that are in the distance, like anything that's moving in the distance, yeah. looks horrible. It looks yeah. absolutely horrible because they like reduce the frame rate in order to. I guess it's just they're freeing up memory to make draw distance further and stuff like that. So I kind of understand, but I mean, it's like it goes from like say it's 30 frames, it goes down to like 10, and right. you can tell. I mean, it's really noticeable. But once you get closer to the enemies, then it adds all the frames back, and I don't know. It's kind of jarring. I mean, I understand yeah. why they did it from like a technical and a programming perspective, but it's still kind of jarring regardless.
Yeah, because there are tons of games that do not do that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, MMOs though. That's the thing. It's like you can't really compare it to like something like Infamous or something like that, where because this is like an MMO. I mean, World of Warcraft. Oh, Final Fantasy XI did a lot of other weird. Well, Final Fantasy stuff just looked terrible in the distance in general. Like buildings, so. Anything. Really? Did you play it on PC? I only played on 360.
No, dude, I played on the PS2, the 360, and the PC.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and like even like enemies far away, they didn't really animations didn't suffer whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, like
I don't think so.
Yeah, I've only done like the first indoor type stuff or whatever, but I'd have to put more time into it to see what Chris exactly is talking about, but. How did it compare to, because you guys played at E3, and Jason was saying it was just ran terribly and everything, and I'm like, this isn't terrible by any means when I saw it.
Yeah, you guys were down on it during E3, that's right.
Well, there was a lot of animation missing at E3. It's like, it didn't have, like, the transition animation from, like, flying into running, like, when you landed and stuff like that. A lot of that animation was missing. It was just not there.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of that has been added back in, but I mean, the game is far from perfect. It's definitely got some issues that need to be worked out. I would be interested in the game if I didn't think that it was going to be like $15 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big problem. Like we asked that, and he's like, "Yeah, it's $14.99," and everyone is kind of like, because, I mean, it's probably going to be retail price as well, right? So, like, we're looking at, like, $60 yeah. bucks.
When you think 15. About here's my thing when it comes to, like, MMOs and, like, a per-month charge. If you're charging the same as WoW, your game better be as good as WoW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah,
DC
much.
Universe, not as good as WoW. You should be charging $10 at the most.
And they're also going to microtransaction as well. So,
what?
Yeah, there's going to be microtransactions, like a store and stuff. Where,
and,
but they said it's going to be all aesthetic stuff. That's what they said at the time. Well, actually, said exact words are like, for the most part, aesthetically.
But that's like, what pretty much a free-to-play game charge. That's a free-to-play bread and butter. That makes zero sense.
Free-to-play does give you stuff that you buy that makes your character better. I'll give them that because, like, if they're telling that you say it's aesthetic only. Then sure, it's people's fault for buying stuff that just makes your character look
horse
cool.
armor.
You say that like it's bad, Jeff. Because I would have paid money just to make my character look different in Dungeon Fighter.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I did.
Yeah, I would say that's the thing. It's if they can stick to that, but I mean they should have went. I think they could if they want to really succeed. It's go one way or the other, and the way they're. Choosing it looks now,
yeah,
is they'd have to lower their subscription fee, I think. But
yeah, oh, they would have to, man.
But I mean, it's
15 is too much, it needs to be 10 at the most,
yeah. And again, I guess I know like you can call it like open beta, demo, whatever it is, a beta, and they still have months, like there's not a confirmed release date. Like, technically, they could be like, okay, you know what, we're not ready next, like,
yeah, right
quarter.
Now it's just
delay
first
it.
Quarter, right?
Yeah, yeah, right now it's first quarter, which could be as late, what, March 30th or whatever,
could be. Yeah.
So who knows, but I mean. Considering not a big DC fan, not a big MMO fan, what I saw got me interested for sure in the final game.
Jeff, dude, I gotta say, man, and I'm gonna be as honest as possible. Mm-hmm. I am so happy that you have Tanya, because if you're single, aside from Magic the Gathering and MMOs, you would not be getting laid this week. I'm just being real.
That is so true. But yeah, I don't, I gotta put in some time. You guys gotta let me know where your characters are and stuff so we can get on there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Put in some times.
Yeah, I'd like to get some like questing going and see what kind of stuff they've got going on, because right now it's just been all I've done is the intro and that's about it, and they drop you off in Gotham and it's like, hey, all right, I'm done, I got a podcast.
So, yeah. Nice.
But yeah, cool. Right now it's like I think that the game is it's decent. I especially think that it's pretty decent for a console MMO. I've seen a couple of like the superpowers, like the character we made last night at Jason's place was an ice character. And the first like ice power you get is this move that like grabs enemies and brings them towards you so you can attack them and, you know, beat the crap out of them. And then I made a fire character and the first thing you get is a fireball and, you know, it basically hits them, catches them on fire and knocks them down. So very effective move. So I'm pretty impressed with that. They need to figure out that monthly charge, man. I'm not doing $15 a month. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people will. I mean, the beta's free. That's why there's a lot of people playing it right now, and people want it. But the second they start charging, that's when they have to make a big decision.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically,
yeah.
So who knows? Other than that, Gran Turismo 5, Need for Speed, and Glenn and I have been playing a crap load of Halo Reach lately. So that's
cool.
That's all for me this week.
All right.
Chris.
I've got nothing to add.
X-Men?
No shit, dude. I've got nothing to add. X-Men. We played X-Men last night, and it was fun. We played four-player. We were playing PSN, the PSN version, and you can do couch and online co-op at the same time, so that's a huge plus. You know, and we had fun. It was nostalgic. It was awesome.
Nice. Worth $10?
I would say so. I bought it. You know, so, you know.
Doesn't mean it's worth $10 if you bought it. I bought a lot of shit that wasn't worth the money.
Yeah, but I haven't bought much lately, so.
Yeah. Actually, I did play Quake Arena Live briefly, but the trial for that for Xbox Live. It's Quake.
I was about to say, do not say you bought that game.
No. I didn't buy it. I was thinking about it, but then I was like, you know what? After playing it with the control pad, I'm like, I'm not going to spend, because it's $15. $15 on this, because it's Quake. It's awesome. Plays fine.
You can get Quake Live for free.
Well,
on the
exactly.
Computer, and it'll
exactly.
run.
Exactly. And it overrun it. Yeah. Let me finish, douche. Jesus. Then that's, you know, it's, yeah, exactly. It's free on computer, and my computer will run it. And it's mouse and keyboard support. So
I'm sorry, guys. I read Jeff's notes. I'm sorry.
But yeah, that is the only other thing I've left out, I think. That's okay. Worth mentioning.
Cool. Let's talk about some news then.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Shit, most of the news we're going to be talking about in the future, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Pretty much. There's no point in touching anything that was like announced, really.
Did anything, aside, VGAs aside, did anything really happen?
I don't think so.
Well, I've got one thing that might just interest you guys. All right. So not, you know, outside, you guys are right. Outside of the VGAs, and we'll kind of touch on that later. Not much has been going on, but there is something that happened. And, you know, this is something we love hearing about because it's just something that just gets our heart pumping and our blood boiling. It's like, all right, I'm ready. Square Enix announced that they're going to have an announcement event on January 18th.
Wait, they're going to have an announcement event?
They announced that they're going to have an announcement event. You remember the thing that they did for Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah, yes.
They're doing it for Final Fantasy Agito 13. How about that shit?
But they're doing that shit live, son.
That's right. That way, everyone who's watching can say all together, who gives a shit? We hate this.
You know what? I'm done with Square.
Does anyone care about Agito 13 anyway?
What is
really?
Agito 13?
Isn't Agito 13 the one that's going to be on like phones and stuff or portables?
Something like that. I don't know. Versus is going to be more of the same.
Versus is going to be freaking canceled, I think.
13. Anyway. That would be great. You know what? I'm not even going to argue that because, man, you called Elite being canceled, not, you know, pushed back. You called fucking Mass Effect, which I read the tweet went gold today. Mass Effect 2 went gold.
It did get gold, yes.
I wanted to give you your props because you were talking
Thanks,
about
man.
How
hey,
I should have talked
you know
about
you
more.
You know the demo's hitting next week, right? The PS3 demo is hitting next week.
Yeah. I didn't want to talk it up more towards you, Travis. I got my jabs into
to others.
I'm talking about to others on VG, but I was like, you know what? I could have been more of a douche.
Well, I felt like you deserved more due too.
And
when you brought it up,
man.
I was like, you know what? He deserved it. I was a good fucking lucky guess. What did I say, man?
Hypothesis, my friend.
Hypothesis.
This is something that we've actually talked about in the past, though. I hate they announce announcements. It's like, it's just retarded. It's like, I can understand, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier. It's like Sony said something about, hey, you know, we're going to announce something new on this date. You know, I can kind of understand this, but it's like
subtle. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're saying Final Fantasy Agito 13, which we know is coming out. Hey, we're going to have an announcement event on January 18th. And we're going to tell you the release date. On January 18th, we're going to tell you the release date.
I hope they do that whole pretentious bullshit they do with 13.
Oh, you know.
The guy coming out being like, what everyone's been waiting for. And they have a bunch of people just talking about it. Like, well, who cares, man? We know what it is. Then he doesn't even announce it. He just walks away and all of a sudden the release date fades in the background.
Yeah, it's just blah. Anyway, let's take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to complain some more about the VGAs. After that, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we will be right back.
Right back.
After I get another drink.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer, got my Doritos, check my perks here, yeah, sweet, I'm gonna kill me some terrorists, ain't never gonna know what hit him, that's right bitches, I'm coming for you, get ready to reap the whirlwind, game, set, match, motherfucker, get ready, there's no stopping.
Hey hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch, every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com, because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Game of VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
Welcome back.
VGA time.
Yay. I just got chills just now.
I know, it's bad. Needless to say, we were not very impressed with the Video Game Awards that Spike TV put on once again. They did a pretty horrible job. So let's talk about things that they can improve. And I know we got a little bit of feedback on this one, so I'm going to pass it over to Travis and let him do his thing.
I'm a big fan of gaming award shows. The VGAs are a personal favorite of mine. Oh, I'm sorry, the IGAs are a personal favorite of mine, just behind your own Goaty show. I even like to hear who the E3 Best in Show Awards went to. Fair enough. Have a few world premieres and more than a teaser, trailers, or three. But what I don't want is motherfucking celebrities who have nothing whatsoever to do with video games to come out and give awards. Hey, I may decide to watch if Yvonne Strofsky was presenting all the awards in a skimpy bikini, but that's not going to happen, so no. Also, make it just about the games. Have a bit of humor in there, but humor gamers get and can relate to. But to give an example, British comedian Frankie Boyle said it at an awards show, the one to look out for this year should be a girlfriend. Jack Black smashing his award is staged and not funny. So to sum up, for me to take the VGAs seriously, lose the celebrity endorsements, don't do corny, shitty humor. Oh, and don't televise the damn thing at all. Keep it to the internet streaming. It's just better that way. Thanks, guys. Keep up the awesome work, and I'm glad to see it's catching on. But hetero love for y'all. Laters. P.S. P.S. Jeff, was that show you were talking about last week called The Adventure Game?
The Adventure Game.
The cartoon.
The one I was talking about with the kid in space?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. Hmm. I think it was like The Littlest Prince or something. I don't know, something weird.
Yeah, sounds cute. Well, that was from our homie, JG92.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Jeff, you've been spending a lot of time with family lately. You know, holidays are coming up. When was the last time you
I will be.
When was the last time you saw your brother?
brother.
Hello, guys. This is Necro here with the question of the week. I guess you guys are talking about the VGAs and stuff. Now, you know, I've read a lot of stuff from different people, like Mr. Jeff Green, who works at PopCap Games, and some a lot of other people, industry people that I follow on Twitter. They've been chirping up about the VGAs. You know, the overall consensus is that people are saying, I guess, that it makes fun of the industry. And you know what? I can kind of see how what angle they're getting at. It is a very dude bro, like frat boy, like atmosphere at the award show. You know, a lot of the humor is just like completely miss. Like the TMZ thing, if you saw it on the award show, that was just, what the fuck are you
doing? I'm sorry, that
really?
Was one of the funniest things the entire
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
regardless of all like the layers of crap you have to step through, I think there is somewhat of an entertaining show to be had there. You know. And I am completely aware that I'm being advertised to. And, you know, like I said, it's a very, like, at times very juvenile show. But I think there is some entertainment value in the show. And, I mean, yes, it can definitely be improved. Everything can always be improved. There's nothing, like, perfection doesn't really exist, you know. So there's always something, no matter what you're doing, always be improved on. But my comparison is, I mean, everybody's talking about wanting to have a more respectable award show. We actually already have that. We already have that. It's known as Publicized, but, and it's not on Spike TV with lots of ads. It, you know, in the Interactive Arts and Science Foundation, they have an award show that is a pretty big one. Also, the Dice Summit. You know, the Dice Summit, that's another big one where awards are given out. And, like, if you guys paid attention last year to the awards, Uncharted 2 pretty much cleaned up every fucking category that it was eligible for. So, I mean, we already got that kind of stuff. And I kind of compare the VGAs, in my mind, to the Video Music Awards on MTV. Wow. I mean, right? I mean, you got the Grammys, and then you got the VGAs. Kind of like the more, like, throwaway popcorn garbage show. And, I mean, I watched the VGAs. I mean, God damn, I'm getting screwed up. The VMAs. And, you know, I watched that too when it was on earlier this year, and it was like the same kind of thing. Lots of just stupid skits and stuff like that, and kind of very juvenile. But I, you know, again, entertaining for 2 hours, you know. Then, you know, you turn around a couple months later and you have the Grammys, which is a little bit more of a respectable show. And I think that's where the VGA falls into line. There's just a lot of these other award shows that actually do happen that are actually very respectable and commendable. They just don't get a lot of press. So I think
not enough people care.
The VGAs probably could definitely be better. But I also think people just need to take a step back and look at all this other stuff that's going on, because there are respectable award shows out there for video games that definitely respect the industry. And so, you know, I mean, haters are going to hate, and I hope you guys don't hate, and I hope you gentlemen have a fine, fine show. I will see you guys later. Out.
Thanks, Necro. All
right.
I actually have a lot of comment in regards to this, because my opinion on the Spike Awards, I don't think they have to improve anything, because they are what they are. It's Spike TV. Everything on Spike TV is dude, like mansers. Come on,
there
guys.
You go.
Like, it's their entire audience is the people that want to see that stuff.
Right.
And unfortunately, the only big enough audience that video games have right now that would care about watching an award show about video games is that market.
Yep.
And that's, I think that there's nothing they can do. They can do stuff to prove it, to make it more to us hardcore players who really follow the industry and everything. But they're not going to get any more viewers for that. They're going to probably lose a lot more, because the
probably.
People that like all the fart jokes and dude, yo, whatever, hey, look, it's Tony Hawk, they're not going to care who, like, wrote the best, like, script for a game, or they're not going to know Well, they might know who Cliff Bleszinski is, but like someone like Warren Spector or something like that, like presenting an award or receiving an award, they're not going to know. And that's why they bring out the celebrities too, is because they have celebrities on there, more people will tend to watch it. And I was going to say, bang on.
I feel bad for those celebrities, man.
Oh, when some of the writing for them was just
the writing,
terrible.
And that was one of my complaints. It was just absolutely horrible. It's like you could hear the crickets.
It takes a lot to have Neil Patrick Harris sit there in silence. And, like, it's luckily he put some spin on it and was, like, he actually improved some jokes, which that was, like, you know, happy for him. But yeah, like, I don't think there's, like, it as much as the video game industry has grown and in terms of how much money, like, it profits, how much money gets brought in, it doesn't even compare to the mainstream market for something like movies or music where people will sit through 2 hours of, like, mostly boring stuff to watch, like, the Oscars or the Grammys. But there's more people out there that understand, like, directors and writers and scriptwriters and actors and stuff like that more on a basic level than they would video games. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, he hit the nail on the head. Like, it's basically MTV. It would be, like, MTV's version of a video game award show. And DICE is one that's actually done. I'm pretty sure it's the developers who actually vote on that stuff.
Right.
So that would make a lot more sense. It would be kind of like the Academy kind of thing. But that's no one's going to want to watch that outside of people listening to podcasts like this one.
You know what? I am probably going to be in a minority with this, but I don't rank up this on par with an MTV Movie Awards just because it's a quote-unquote hip, like, awards program. It's not, how I feel, not on par with that.
I feel as
a station, as a network, I feel MTV takes more pride in their movie and music awards than Spike TV says, or, you know, would show how they feel towards, you know, the VGAs.
Oh, I agree with that, for sure. But, I mean, if you had to compare it with something, like, in terms of movies, like, it would be Oscars versus, like, the MTV Movie Awards. The MTV Awards, I mean, they're goofy, come on. They have ridiculous categories, like, Best Kiss, Best, like, stuff that, like, they have ridiculous categories in the VGAs. But more people watch that shit because they're more familiar with it. But it's, like, I don't know. It's definitely not, like, a lot of stuff is actually written for the MTV Movie Awards that is actually legitimately funny. Some really funny shit has come out of that stuff.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, I was going to say, when was the last time you've seen the MTV Movie Awards or Music Awards and you've said, you know what? That was terrible writing.
Yeah, never. No.
Never.
Of course not. No.
Like, I'm not even an MTV fan anymore. I am past that age to where I will watch MTV. Mm-hmm. But I will want some, you know, once in a while, check out the Movie Awards. And I enjoy it every year.
And you're probably going to see someone drunk as hell on there on stage and do something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah. So, but you'll still probably watch the Oscars or something like that, too. You know, you'll check them out. There you go. You'll check them out and watch the whole thing still have the same kind of respect. I mean, the same movies probably likely won't be winning. Kind of like this is a situation where some of the games that win in VGAs and even nominated, people know they shouldn't be there or shouldn't have won or whatever. But hey.
I was actually pretty happy that Red Dead Redemption got Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm. It was worth it.
You know? Well, what I liked is that it wasn't like, let's just pick this year's shooter, you know? Because, I mean, it's very common in the industry right now that, like, the best shooter is the Game of the Year. And, you know, the best shooter out right now is Call of Duty. And, you know, it's good that they actually looked for something that was...
Well, no, well, to be fair, disagree, Uncharted 2 won last year, right?
Yeah, but that's
not really a shooter, though.
Well, no, but he's saying what Travis is saying is you said you're happy Red Dead won because it wasn't a shooter, but a shooter didn't win last year either.
Well, yeah, but last year was Uncharted, and you know Uncharted is kind of an anomaly, I think. But
and Mass Effect won the year it came out, didn't it?
I was actually really hoping that Mass Effect 2 is going to win. But,
I think they focus more on the shooters and they big up the shooters more than the other games and stuff. And a lot of shooters get nominated. But I really think when you actually look at it, not too many shooters have actually won like Game of the Year on Spike.
Right.
It's kind of like the Halo thing. A lot of people like, if it's a Halo game, it gets a 10, it wins Game of the Year. When you actually think about it, there's only been one Halo game that has won Game of the Year, and that's the first one.
The first one,
Yeah.
So I think it's just kind of like what people remember, but
all right. Well,
they're getting. You gotta admit though, they're since the first year, they're a little bit. They're, at least they're watchable. How many of us? Like, we do this every year. We make fun of it every year. The entire Twitterverse makes fun of it every year. Everyone on Facebook, all the hardcore gamers, every year Oh, God, the VGAs. But how many of all you motherfuckers out there watched it?
Oh, yeah. This is the first time that I've watched it. And the only reason I watched it is because I watched it in a group with Travis and Jason.
Yeah. To make fun
of. If I was at home by myself,
no, honestly,
I would not have watched it.
We didn't watch it to make fun of. We were watching it, and
no, I was saying
before
that,
Chris came in, like Jason and I were talking, we were like, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I want this to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. I really want this to be really, really good.
I was saying that mostly sarcastically. I didn't even say it. I might have said
okay,
like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, you'll never admit to doing it by yourself, but if you're with a group of people, you'll do it because you're like, there's a group of us doing it, so it's okay. That's what I meant.
Well,
like,
I get that. But I think all forms of media, legit media, deserve a good public, like, mm-hmm. show of recognition. And, you know, it's cool that, you know, right now in video game awards, like, it's the DICE Summit and stuff like that. That's stuff that really, really matters. It's voted by it's developers winning awards voted by their peers, and it's a big deal. And, like, but big forms of media, I mean, this is a genre of media that holds the highest selling thing entertainment wise, the biggest thing ever, which is like Call of Duty. And when you're looking at something that can be publicly recognized, like to look towards publicly recognizing these, it ends up being a joke. It ends up being nothing but bad writing, bad jokes, just constant, just like examples of video games that we don't like people to focus on because we want to sit here and call video games art. And it's aggravating because the last 2 years, people have been wanting. It has been an outcry of take games seriously. It's a legit form of media.
Yeah.
We need this type of thing. And then all of a sudden, it just pisses me off so bad. And it's like it's not about shooting people. It's not about blood, guts, and gore. These games are art. This is art, man. This is developers expressing their feelings. And what is the first motherfucking thing that happens in the VGAs? It's a bloodbath.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, I don't think.
No,
see,
it's bullshit. Why would you do that? Have a fun skit. You have a guy like MPH that could go out there and he could blow the walls out of that theater with singing and doing a big musical number. But then they turn it around and make it something that people like us, especially adult gamers who want to make it. Okay, I play video games. But not because of blood and guts. I play it because they're fun and they're enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Not because of all this stupid shit that a 13-year-old would like a video game about. But then they sit there and they pump the opening act full of gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do with like humor versus let's take it seriously. It's just bad humor. It's just bad writers, and they need someone who's actually in the know, who's funny. Like, fucking get what's his name from. He used to be on 1UP. What's his name? Oh my god. He was like the PC guy. Hilarious dude.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He's drawing blank.
Yeah.
But yeah, get people like them to write your jokes and to write stuff like that. Then it would be legitimately funny, and you wouldn't have to worry about people thinking that you're taking a knock on our hobby, basically. It's like something like that. Oh, Dave Elliott. Yeah, that's it.
You know who I would have loved? To host the VGAs or something similar to the VGAs,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fallon. Let him bring on. He wants to be a part of this tech, you know, this young tech nation. And why not have Jimmy Fallon come on, bring his writers, and write a good show? Why don't they do that?
Yeah.
He would want to do that. He would like to. I'm sure he's under contract because he's on network television, so he wouldn't be able to do that for like Spike.
Yeah.
But why not? Fuck, get Olivia Munn and the other guy from Attack of the Show, who Chris doesn't know. Who Chris doesn't know. We
God
actually,
forbid that I should not watch Attack of
he's
the
like,
Show.
He's like, who is this bimbo with the big boobs? I'm like, dude, it's Olivia Munn. How
oh,
do
you
know
who
know
Olivia
that?
Munn was?
Excuse me. You said Olivia Munn. I said, who is Olivia Munn? All of a sudden, you jumped down my throat.
I
don't watch
her.
Attack of the
she
Show.
Was on the screen.
Fucking excuse me for not watching one of your favorite shows in existence.
Oh my god!
Holy shit!
Great
show.
It's not even that. It is pretty cool.
It's, she's been on like everything recently. But,
yeah.
You know, but I can understand. A year ago, I could understand if you're like, who's Olivia Munn? But this last year, I'm like, really? Come on, it's Olivia Munn.
I've never seen her before. I don't watch those types of programs. You know, when I watch TV, I watch it for, you know, specific shows, and that's it.
Chris, we're just asking you to open your eyes, buddy. Just open them. Because
okay.
if you don't,
I still don't know who Olivia Munn is. It doesn't matter if they're open or not.
You might miss something. I'm just saying.
I'm missing the fact that we're not moving on with the show.
Okay, why not?
Why are you getting so bitter?
I'm not. I just don't understand what the big deal is. It's like, I don't know who Olivia Munn is. Who cares? It's just some chick on Attack of the Show. I don't watch Attack of the Show, so I don't know who she is.
And we're busting your balls. Calm down.
Because she is God forbid,
I should not watch one of your shows.
She's worth looking at. That's what we're trying to say. She's worth looking at.
Exactly.
Okay. I was busy watching How I Met Your Mother.
Guys, please forgive my ranting and raving, but I carry with me a lot of strong opinions about the VGAs and Spike TV in general, and this is coming from Jeff with a J, Better Tomorrow. He says, I believe that there's only one thing the VGAs can do that would allow me to respect them to any degree, and that's just to cease to exist. The VGAs are the absolute worst and complete joke. I have always hated them, and I will continue to hate them. The VGAs are essentially the gaming equivalent of the MTV Movie Awards, which is equally ridiculous. The categories, for the most part, are stupid. The nominations for some of them are just mind-blowing, especially the voice talent. Some nominees were very well-deserving, and I do like Call of Duty. I really do, but the fucking numbers, lady? Are you kidding me? And that's What's-Her-Face from Blur? Who is that? She's just playing herself. Fuck off. Whatever, fuck it. The VGAs are nothing more than a popularity contest anyway. They just nominate whatever games are popular so they can appeal to the masses, and they nominate as many famous people as they can in hopes that they will make an appearance and give them the impression that their little tea party is remotely important, which it isn't. I am sure like the MTV Movie Awards, whoever wins a trophy ends up tossing it in the trash on the way out. What we need is a true and respectable ceremony that actually looks to award those who have earned the recognition. They also need to award individuals who work in specific areas in the development of games, similar to the Tech Awards of the Academy Awards. Sure, everyone bitches that they're boring and all, but those are the people whom the awards meant the most to. I will end this tangent with one further point. The gaming industry is working so hard trying to make a name for itself as an art form, as a respectable form of entertainment. Bullshit like the VGAs are nothing more than a setback for this. Anyone who looks upon the gaming industry as a joke or just kid stuff needs only to catch a few minutes of the VGAs and have their opinions further reinforced. I'm not saying gaming awards need to be a formal gala like the Academy Awards or the Grammys, but they need to make them somewhat respectful and stop this whole let's make it hip, let's see what the kids like, popularity bullshit, and let's just start recognizing talent. Whew. Sorry, guys. It's a sensitive subject. Better Tomorrow.
Wow. Thanks, Better Tomorrow.
Do away with it, pretty much.
Do away with it. I disagree
with that. Like I said, we need this.
But I think as bad as it is, it brings in more people to play games, and those people can turn into core gamers. And the more core gamers, the more people that it reaches, the more people are going to turn core, and the more chance they're going to be to actually have a respectable show to go alongside the VGAs.
Right.
Because, I mean, without the Oscars, like, basically, okay, I can understand Better Tomorrow where he's coming from. Like, it's insulting, but that's because we're the video game snobs. There are movie snobs out there that hate the MTV Awards just as much as we hate the VGAs.
Right.
But at least they have their Oscars there to keep them happy. Right now, exactly. We don't have that. So until we have that, getting rid of the VGAs won't do anything. Mm-hmm. It'll just make everything worse. I honestly believe that. Like, it's, I don't know.
It sounds no, like no, you're, you hit the nail on the head, man. I'm with you on that opinion. He made a good point about nominations and how they're kind of ridiculous. Yes, I do agree. The nominations are kind of like really hit or miss. Like we bitched and complained about Emmanuelle Chikwi, the numbers lady, being, you know, being nominated, and the girl who played Trip was not nominated. That was completely beyond me.
Yeah.
Completely beyond me.
Things like that you were saying, like Nathan Fillion was nominated and he had one line
in Halo.
He is literally in Reach. He doesn't speak at all.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Nathan Fillion, but
It wasn't worth it.
Come on.
Like, well, it's because, and it's because he said he showed up. It's like, hey, you want to come to this award show? And Nathan Fillion probably isn't the kind of guy you needed to beg to go to a video game award show, because I'm pretty sure he would have gone anyway.
He's like, gone. Yeah.
He did the whole campaign to be like Nathan Drake and everything, which unfortunately didn't happen. But yeah, that, I mean, Neil Patrick Harris joked around about it when they did the whole voice thing when he won for Spider-Man. And he walked out there and he's like, oh, what a surprise. And I kind of laughed at that. I'm not sure if that was written in or not, but I'm like, it's obvious because it's VGAs. If you know who's going to win. If you saw a shot of them in the audience or they're there, you know they're winning an award.
They're probably going to win. But on that nomination tip, I think another thing that I would really enjoy, and it would be a stepping stone into making this more of a legit affair. Let's get a little more serious, you know, like awards. Like, where is the every year you do like a lifetime achievement award? Where you
seriously
give props to someone who has been around, who has been an influence. Like, they'll give it to Miyamoto. Could you imagine them offering that prize up to Miyamoto and him showing up
to
the VGAs? That would be a win for the VGAs and Spike TV.
Yeah, Miyamoto probably
would
show up.
That's true. No, he would never show up. No way.
But that would be a win if they were able to get stuff like that.
Sure.
But like, you know, get like Gabe Newell a Lifetime Achievement Award, or give it to, just give it to people who have just done a lot for the industry.
Yeah, exactly.
I think stuff like that, good awards like that would be.
Like, what's his face? He's like Sims and stuff. What the hell is that guy's name?
Yeah, him. That guy. Love him. Love that guy.
You know who he, come on.
Yeah,
Sims.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't know him, right? I mean, I
seriously
know him.
Oh. Come on, Chris. Help us out here. Stop.
I know you're talking
story.
About. I don't know his name.
Yeah, why can't I think of his name? The guy's like friggin', I don't know, whatever.
Some anyway.
Bugger. Anyway.
Someone's screaming right now.
Yeah, right. Assholes. Okay, so anyway, let's finish off this question of the week with our good buddy. Our good buddy, Fluffy.
Hey, guys. It's Fluffy. How are you?
Hey, Fluffy.
I'm just calling about the your question of the week with the VJs, mate. I'll take this another way. Spike doesn't have to fix them. Spike has to get rid of them. Because obviously it's a shit channel. I mean, all I hear is people complaining about it. I don't get it here, so I don't know what it's like. But anyway, like, if you want to make VGAs actually good, I know it won't happen because most of these people like to pretend that the others don't exist, but get like the biggest sites, like get the IGNs, the GameSpot, the who else, the Kotaku and Giant Bomb, all of them, get the big ones, I don't know, 5 or 6 of them, and get them to do like a joint thing. Get them to decide amongst each other, amongst votes. I don't know how it will work. But, you know, these people do play games. They know what games are. And they're not going to get the host of the show an award.
Yeah.
But also, don't make it a big event. Don't fill it up with all Nickelodeon audience. Maybe just do a small studio audience or not even any at all. Stream it onto the internet, you know, where we actually watch it. And instead of celebrities, get, like, the people who make the games. I mean, there are big names in, like, the gaming world, and just because nobody else knows about it. I mean, Bob off the street isn't going to say, oh, yeah, there's a video games awards show. I'm going to start playing video games. It's not getting people in. This is just service for the people who are already in. So why are they catering to another market? You know? All they have to do is make it smaller and make it for us. That's what will be better. Yep, that's it. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
Thanks, Fluffy.
You know, I like where he's heading with that. You know, now, don't get me wrong. I do think award shows need celebrities. You have to have that. Got to have it. There's no turning away. It'll always be there. But I will have to say, Chris, what was my reaction when Todd Howard from Bethesda came out? Like, before he even made the announcement of Elder Scrolls. Mm-hmm. I flipped.
Oh, I mean, you were more excited about that than any of the
anything.
Celebrities that were. Yeah.
Anything.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you're
flipped.
Gearing this towards gamers, then the people that you should bring on should be geared towards the gamers.
I love to think that some of these developers can be mini rock stars. Like, you know, as cliche as he is, like, dude huge, man. Clippy B?
Yeah.
Dude, he's huge.
He's probably
he's
the closest.
Funny, man.
That there
I love
is,
it.
Yeah.
I love it. And he embraces that, and that's cool. Games.
I don't know, man. Hideo is pretty rock star.
Dude.
Hey, actually, he is. Yeah. Or
he's fucking
his name.
Awesome.
Itagaki.
Itagaki is super rock star.
He's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
He's the rebel without a cause.
Quick tangent about like Kojima Productions. Okay, so the guy
Will Wright is the guy, sorry.
Oh, good job.
Anyway, moving on.
Good job. Thank you, Bing. So, speaking of Kojima Productions, okay, so I didn't realize this until I started following him on Twitter. So Ryan Payton, the guy who helped westernize Metal Gear Solid 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he left Konami, and you know where he went?
Who? Ryan Payton?
He's
343 Studios.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
For
dude,
Microsoft.
Please Metal Gear up my fucking Halo.
No, please don't Metal Gear up my Halo.
That excited me. I was like, okay, cool.
He brought up something about at least one thing I will give a little bit of credit to Spike. Now, the way they do their nominations and their voting actually is done by a lot of the
media
industry, like the media.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Gerstmann's one of the judges, and Jeff Keighley, and someone's like, I'm not sure how many there are in total, and the percentage of how much are actually industry and how much are actually representatives of Spike. I have no idea, but at least they're on there. So at least they can give. I would love to see like some kind of like argument. They're like, all right, guys, downloadable game of the year. Okay, we got Super Meat Boy, we got Limbo, we got Angry Birds, Game Dev Story, and we got, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something ridiculous that no one would care about. At least none of us would, but something mainstream.
Right.
I just want to see, like, you know, be like, okay, we're going to go with, I don't know. I can't think of anything. This is going to be a terrible joke. Fuck it. Forget it. Anyway, just to see Jeff Gerstmann and, like, Jeff Keighley, it's like, trying to make it. Are you like, fuck, you know, it's got to make it. They're like, fine, fuck it, whatever. Pick whatever you want to. This is garbage.
Right.
But, yeah. Anywho.
Like the joke.
Exactly. I got to have at least one of those in every show. And that was it. Hopefully. That was it.
No, hopefully. Hopefully that was the only
too.
One you'll hear.
Show, yeah. Show ain't over yet, baby.
Yeah, I know. Can we end this?
Why? Okay,
what
well,
else
you got? Final thoughts.
There's a lot of things that need to change. I mean, I actually had a list of things that I lost somehow. But, I mean, one of the things that really got me was, you know, if you're going to get someone to announce things about, like, video games, make sure they know what they're talking about, because they called Samus, and that was really annoying for some reason.
Samus.
It's like,
oh,
and it's like, and it's not just this. I mean, and it happens in other award shows
was
too.
The
but you know,
Irish?
That's the thing. It's like, make sure she knows how to pronounce the shit, you know. And you know what really we were talking about, like the stereotype of gamers and shit like that, and how they were trying to play that up, and how it was a big frat party, and you know, for the majority of it, I was almost insulted at how they were making gamers out to look. I mean,
yeah.
How many fucking weed jokes were there? You know,
quite a
I
few.
Mean,
and NPH did a lot of them.
I know. It's like, what does every gamer have to get stoned to play games? I mean, what the fuck? It's like, I have never taken a puff of weed in my life, and I am a huge gamer. Well, yeah, I know. But they're making this out to be, I mean, they're taking all of the stereotypes and they're running with them. It's like, why are you doing this? Just stop.
That's all they know. That's why. Because they're stereotypes and it's ignorance.
It is.
What it comes down to.
And it's frustrating. It really is.
I hear you. If anything, a take from it is, I don't want them to go away or anything, whatever. They can be there. If you don't like them, don't watch them, whatever. And the crowd that they're making us look like jokes for are the crowd that likes those jokes, and I don't think that's going to change. But one thing, I like the fact that they showed off trailers for, like, upcoming games, and that just proves that a lot of people do watch this show, because I don't think all these big developers would put that as, like, their mainstay. It's like, oh, we're going to announce this on, like, some award show that no one watches. But it's just obvious now that that is their big draw. And I want them to stop doing that, because it just makes it look like one big commercial.
And the other thing is that they fit so many of those things in there that they actually take away from awards.
Oh,
you know?
A lot of the awards they named, like, oh, earlier awards from tonight were actually awards I wouldn't have mind them seeing, like, you know.
I know.
Like, It's like, why wouldn't you have just done that on the show?
Yeah, like, it's like, why didn't you announce them on the show? They only, I mean, honestly, it's like out of all the awards that they showed, they maybe announced like half of them right.
yeah.
on the show.
No, yeah, exactly. If
that. And that's five? And that's like, frustrating. Anyway, it's like yeah. you're playing down all the rest of them. It's like, okay, well, the, you know, these awards don't matter. These were happened before, and this is the winner. So there you go.
Yeah,
and that's annoying too.
And I'll admit it, as corny as sometimes it can be, I really enjoy watching acceptance speeches. I don't know. I really like seeing people, especially when it's unexpected. It's like, oh, I don't know who to thank. And then the music plays and it's real awkward.
I will say, though, some of those speeches that they were announced, as much as like we respect the devs and stuff, they are not – don't look comfortable with a microphone in their face and the lights on them. And it's not exactly like Oscar speeches really because of like comedy gold at all. It's not even close.
I would like to thank everybody at Ubisoft and our development lead.
And thank God for coffee.
Yeah, they're not trained to speak publicly at all.
No, not at all.
Who's the least awkward? Mary? Okay, you're talking.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really think they're just gearing it too much towards. It's all about ratings for them, and it has nothing to do with the games.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what really bothers me. Yeah, I don't think it is either, and that's the problem. And that's why I don't think that I personally will never take these awards seriously. It's like, but this game won a VGA. I'm like, who cares?
Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it Fluffy who said all the media needs to step up together, like IGN, GameSpot, and all those guys, and like do it themselves? That's what I think it's going to take, is at least one show of something like that happening or someone putting forward the cash to fund it, see how it does, and then go from there. Like, do it, like, you know, have it run by the industry and see what happens. But until that happens, it's...
I'm going to tell you who would be a key in doing that, and I think they could pull it off because, I mean, they've already done it with their expo, but fucking PAX, man. They get the Penny Arcade guys.
That's true.
If there's anybody that has enough clout in this industry to do that, it would be them.
Yeah.
I agree.
That would be awesome.
So yeah,
someone needs to write an email.
Yeah, a thank you letter.
Get them on Twitter.
Something.
On the Twitter.
Come on, VGAs. I want you to be good.
And
I
the thing, want you to be good. Jeff Keighley knows his shit, and it's just sad he's tied up with Spike, basically.
Yeah, it is. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Cool.
Let's move on. We got some. We got a voicemail from Repeat.
Well, you know we got one.
Yeah, there's nothing coming out this week.
For next week is the release of Neo Geo Station for the PS3. Now, what this is essentially a virtual console for Neo Geo games on the PSN. The initial launch, not that great lineup of titles. It's all the very early stuff. Obviously, they've got to get that out before they get to the really good stuff later on. But, you know, there's Metal Slug and Samurai Showdown and King of Fighters 90-something, probably 4 or 5 maybe. But it could be interesting to see how well this actually works out, because they're adding quite a lot of extra features and things that you'd expect for a nice sort of emulation here. So they've got save states, there's online play, which should be good, hopefully, if it works, although SNK's previous efforts in online on XBLA have been a bit shoddy, so we'll see how that goes. apparently it's going to come, you're going to be able to download the games for both PS3 and PSP, but
PSP?
It looks like the PSP stuff doesn't come until like January, so probably PS3 only for the moment. Elsewhere on PSN, looks like Echochrome 2 is also coming out, which actually looks pretty neat. It uses the Move as a flashlight or something. So yeah, there's that. And that's pretty much it. Oh, actually, it looks like that Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People is hitting PSN. The PS3 as well. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, that's it. Seriously? Nothing else.
Really? Like, I got a question. When is Ghost Trick out for the DS? Is that like 2 weeks?
Ghost Trick?
You haven't heard of Ghost Trick?
No, I haven't.
Dude, you need to get up on that fucking jam right now.
Yeah, I think Olivia Munn was the one producing that one.
Oh, there you go. That's why I haven't heard of it.
That's
Ghost Trick is January 11th.
Okay, so it's next year.
Ghost Trick Phantom Detective?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The date I see is January 11th.
Okay, you need to check it out. It's gonna be hot.
Cool. All right. But yeah, I mean, that's seriously, that's about it.
I'm not going to have pick of the week at all.
Yeah. I'm doing more 3D research.
I'm going, yeah, I'm just playing the games I got.
Game dev story. Holy shit. Come on, people. Oh, and there were some people asking, Minecraft is about to go into open beta. It's still in alpha. Buy it as soon as possible so you can get the free updates. But I think after the beta, we're going to be starting up a VG Evo server so we can make this our own big world. So, guys, get your Minecraft in because we're going to jump into that soon.
Cool. One thing that I wanted to mention about the whole Neo Geo Station that Repeat was talking about, the one thing that bothers me is that it's not like other PSN titles where, for instance, like the PS1 and the PSP minis, where if you buy it on the PS3, you get to play it on the PSP as well. It seems like you have to buy it on both if you want to play it on both, which is kind of annoying. But I don't know. We'll see how that works out.
Okay.
So, cool. That's it for new releases. No picks of the week because there's really nothing interesting coming out. If you are interested in Neo Geo, go check that out. There's the lineup was not that great to start with, but hopefully they will bring out some cooler games soon. So, emails. Travis, what you got?
Hey, Distractioners, or Distractioneers, says our buddy Hallowed Be Thy Name from the PSN.
That be his
he
name.
Says, I was looking at the Uncharted 3 trailer, and it's nothing short of awesome. I'm sure you're going to talk about it anyways, but just wanted to know what you dudes think about it. Laters. She looks hot. Looks like Uncharted.
Looks like Uncharted.
It's pretty hot. Right. It's Uncharted, and it looks sexier. You know, I mean, That's really, what else can you say about it?
Let's take the time to talk about this a little bit deeper. Did you watch the Jimmy Fallon?
No, I didn't.
I did not.
You can definitely tell the game is like early.
More gameplay?
Yes, it's all gameplay. Okay. It's very short, maybe about a good minute and a half to 2 minutes of just straight gameplay. What it is, Nathan and Sully, they're in this mansion and it's on fire. And they have to try to escape it and everything. And there is this awesome scene where, like, the staircase that they're on, like, they're, like, on the third or fifth floor. The staircase, they're on, and the whole walls are, like, all numbered fire. So, anyway, the ground that Nathan is standing on breaks, and he falls, like, three stories. And, like, the camera's looking from up, all looking at him down, and it's like he's, like, falling towards nothing but fire. And, like, it's just, like, great, great scene, and he barely hangs on. It's like it's classic Uncharted. So you have to check it out. It's a really awesome scene. It kind of gets your blood boiling, for lack of a better term.
Oh, I thought you were going into something like you saw a glitch or something the way you started that off.
Oh, no. Okay. You can definitely tell the game is early, though, because it's actually a lot of like texture fade in. But
I'm sure it'll be pretty
damn awesome.
It's
going to be hot. It's going to be hot.
Hell yeah.
All right. You know, earlier we had a voicemail from Fluffy, and I was just like, man, it was a good informative email. I mean, voicemail. We love getting those, but it just wasn't like, it wasn't a Fluffy email.
It wasn't a drunk email.
It wasn't a Fluffy email, but guess what?
We got one?
Oh, he followed suit.
Awesome.
Hey, guys, it's Fluffy.
Sup?
Hey. What's happening, dude? Dude, I just got back from the strip club.
Strip club!
What a surprise.
It was a good night, and I was on a jumping castle before, and we smashed into shit, and, dude, you know what was awesome? I was on a jumping castle, and someone pulled a little plug to it, and collapsed on top of everyone. But then they plugged it back in, and it was like, we're in like a, it just popped up again, fucking sweet. Dude, I love it.
It's amazing how those work.
listen, I've got a question for you. I just hooked up with this Russian bird after the trip, and anyway, I'm back home now. No, and I have a question for you.
What do you do with this itchy sensation?
Do you still feel awkward buying condoms, especially like when at the servo, or like at the supermarket or chemist, it's like a 16-year-old girl at the counter? Does that make you feel weird or anything? Like, what do you do? This is. You always get
some
weird looks. Anyway, I'm going. I'm gonna be out of bed. Bye.
Thanks, Fluffy.
Do we feel awkward?
Do you feel awkward buying condoms?
Like, yeah, if there's like a 16.
Why would you buy
like
condoms? I'm not 12. Fuck that.
I do not feel awkward buying condoms. No.
I've never felt awkward.
I've never really, yeah. Like
maybe the first time. Maybe the first time. I'll be honest. Like, the first time, I was like, oh, my God. I'm... But now I'm just like, you know what's up.
You know what's up. I actually had a, not really a comment, but I got a look from a cashier once when I was buying condoms. Mm. And she looked at me and just kind of smiled. And I was like, hey, at least I know I'm getting some.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, nice. And I just walked out. I was like, I don't need to, you know, I don't care. Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to see you again.
Yeah, I haven't bought them in a freaking while, but I didn't. I don't know. You know what? Times I did. I think there's always a little bit of weirdness there for me, no matter what. Just depending on who was the cashier. If they were much older or younger, I kind of felt weird. But if they were on, like, the same age-ish or whatever at the time, I didn't really care. It was just kind of like, I don't know.
Be married for a while. There's truckloads of feminine products you end up having to go make runs to go buy.
That are worse.
That are way worse than condoms.
You know, Crystal has never made me do that.
I've never
had to do that.
Same here.
Lucky.
But you know what? I don't think I'd have a problem because, I mean, you're going to
buy tampons. I've done it before.
It's like, it's not a problem because, like, you know what? They're obviously, it's not for you. It's like, yeah, obviously it's for someone, like, I don't know. Girlfriend,
I get nosebleeds.
Wife, mom. Yeah, I get nosebleeds.
I have nosebleeds. I have a deviated septum.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Cool.
So, yeah.
What else you got?
Any more?
I got one more email. Jeff with a J comes back with us again. Thought I would send another quick and a more cheery email with a quick question for you guys. What holiday movies and or TV specials do you make mandatory watching around the holidays?
Oh, man. For me, I was just talking about this with someone the other day.
For me, I have a – what? For me, I have a few traditions. My wife must watch Rudolph while we set up a tree and decorations. That is a long-standing tradition for her. As for myself, I must watch Christmas Vacation on Christmas Eve with eggnog. I've been doing that as long as I can remember. In addition to some
shitter's full.
Shitter's full. Oh, Randy Quaid. Even though your mind is gone, you still have not left us. In addition, at some given point, I must watch Jingle All the Way, The Santa Claus, Home Alone, and of course, Die Hard. Now I have a machine.
Good. Die Hard is the ultimate Christmas movie.
Thanks, guys. If I don't write in again beforehand, Merry Xmas to you guys and your families.
And you too.
Better tomorrow.
You too, man. All right, so I have one of the things that I really like to try and do every year for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I don't actually – I think I own the DVD, but I just never break it out, is I like to watch the best rendition of A Christmas Carol that there is.
What's that?
And, of course, I'm talking about Scrooged with Bill.
Oh, yeah, Scrooge is really good.
Yes.
I really, really try and watch that every year because it is such a fantastic movie. It really, really is.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I don't really have any that we actually got any kind of tradition with watching, really, at all. We always end up watching movies like that around the Christmas time, around the holidays, but there was never really one movie. I know Christmas Carol was one that a lot of people – was it Christmas Story? Which is one with the BB gun?
The BB gun or Christmas
Story?
Yeah,
that's Christmas
Story.
I can't watch that, man. It's too long. It's too much movie.
Too much movie?
Too much movie.
But, yeah, I actually never liked – did you guys get like the animated like claymation like – Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
classic.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I couldn't stand those as a kid for some weird reason. But.
Bumble's Bounce, dude.
What?
Abominable Snowman? Bumble's Bounce? Nothing? Doesn't?
No.
Somewhere, someone listening was like, oh, it's awesome. Classic, man. It's classic.
Probably.
Olivia Munn? Hello? Anyone? Jesus. I got my keister in the wind over here, and you're just silent. Thanks.
Yeah. Travis, what about you, man?
Christmas Vacation. I mean, Jeff with a J hit the nail on the head.
I think that's probably one of the most popular for sure.
That is a really funny movie.
Of
course,
year.
I love Chevy Chase. I always have, so that helps.
Yeah, and it's great. The one tradition that surrounds our family on Megatron's side, and I don't want to say hate. It's such a strong word. I downright loathe this movie, and I have to sit and watch it every year. It's A Wonderful Life.
What's that one?
It's from the 40s.
Okay.
It's the one where Jimmy Stewart, Lionel Barrymore.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it. So even
it's pretty much the one where the guy, he's like a banker, and he's it's about the story of him.
He wants to kill himself or something like that?
Yeah, he's not a really nice guy, and he goes to kill himself, but then his guardian angel comes to help him.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's the one that ends. It's the one that ends. Look, the bell's ringing. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets wings and stuff like that. Yeah, I just I cannot stand those movies.
Hey, you know what? When you have to watch that this year, Game Dev Story, baby.
There's one that a guy at my work does.
I do, man. Just ask me. I know. I know these things.
There's a cool one that a guy at my work does. Well, it's kind of cool, but freaking long. Him and his dad started watching Lord of the Rings trilogy from beginning to end.
It started from actually watching it.
Yeah, I know. It started from actually watching it to now they just put it on and they just do stuff while it's going on in the background. that's insane. Is it the extended edition? Yeah, it's the extended version.
They had like 45 minutes to each movie.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, that'd be
That's like
be
16
much.
Hours worth of shit or 12, well, yeah. 12 hours worth of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not shit. That's quality product.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's 12 hours of movie.
The MTV Movie Awards gave that a lot of awards, so it counts.
Because that's what I was looking for. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, you know, you're nothing until you win one of those.
That's right.
Got to get a moon man.
That's right.
Got to get on that moon man.
Do you want to hit into his questions really quick? I know we're running late, but
drop it.
We've got one in here. This is from Nabishin.
What's up?
Regular. What is your favorite artificially flavored fruit juice? Examples like Hawaiian Punch, Sunny D, Capri Sun. Whatever.
Lately, I've been digging the V8 Splash Fusion.
Nice. I just had one of those the other day. Good stuff.
That's good stuff. I like it. I don't know if it's artificially flavored or natural flavored, but it's a fruit juice, and that's what I like.
Yeah. Travis?
Blue Steel is gonna want me to say, what the hell is juice? Give me some of that drink.
Drink.
But
are you gonna go purple?
On the real, I got
purple stuff.
To say...
Cran grape, man.
Dude, those guys over at Ocean Spray, like, they put a lot of love in that drink. It's good stuff. Cran grape. Cool. Write that down.
Oh, is that what that taste was? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Artificially, I have to go with peach juice, man. That shit's good.
Ooh,
artificial
that's
peach
good.
Juice stuff. I like that. Or that, anything
that
that's
big peach.
Anything that's artificially flavored watermelon and stuff is usually pretty good, too.
Ugh, okay, that sounds gross.
No, it's so good. Cool.
Give us another one. Drop another in this question. You know?
Drop another on this question? Let's see here. Yeah. I go through because Chris made a mistake and, you know, logged into it and forgot he was in there and posted a bunch of crap.
I only did one.
So, oops, wrong account. Sorry. Thoughts? Actually, that's all the Innis questions that we had this week next to the ones that we had last week.
Travis, you got anything else?
I'm clear, man. That's it.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's do some questions of the week and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
It is officially obligatory question of the week time.
Yes.
Question of the week next week. What is your most anticipated game of 2011?
Yeah.
So to answer the question of the week, drop us
Which
a line.
Game will likely not win an award at the Spike. That's right.
Drop us a line at email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337. Thank you, Travis. That was so enthusiastic. It was awesome.
It's what happens when we do it on Wednesday and not Thursday. We're so like, you know, out of routine. I didn't bring any energy this week. I'm sorry, guys. And Travis is falling asleep.
Hey, I'm ready to go on vacation, so I'm with you. So what else? Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well, and we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O to the double F.
Geoff.
Indus Questions, Indus Pro, and Indus Roadie also. Make sure you check those guys out as well. Let's see. We also have a Facebook group, and that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. We have forums on VGEvo.com. Get involved with VGEvo. Go register right there, right now, and hang out with us over there. And come by Cast Medium and check us out on there, too. We are now officially part of their lineup, which I think is really cool. Jonathan Downen and the folks over there at Cast Medium are running a fantastic site. Go check it out. Lots of good gaming podcasts that are on their lineup, and it's worth a look.
Yep, and if you're on the Twitters, hit up Indus Questions. If you have anything you want to say, question, whatever, in 140 characters or less, hit us up.
Cool. That is all I have. You guys have anything else before we get out of here?
There was something. I just cannot remember it.
Game Dev Story.
Game Dev Story for the win.
Go get it.
People have been playing it for months, dude. Just the slow Android train just, you know, took a while to catch up.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. I can deal with that. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. Or if you're on Cast Media, leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. Talk to you.